All right, guys, we are doing a very special edition of the Crimson Corner. Utah football is going to be on a short week, so it's going to be a little bit hard to try and get a Washington State analysis done in time before the game on Thursday. But I do have a Washington State professor, actually, now that I think about it, on with me. And we are here to talk about something very, very important. It is the anniversary of Lauren McCluskey's death this Saturday. And her mother, Jill, is so gracious to come on and join me and just talk about Lauren and some of the progress that we've hopefully made since that fateful day. What is it, like 5 years ago?
4 years ago.
Four years ago. Wow. Jill, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. This is always a hard time for me, but it's helpful to take part in some of these events that remember her and are making progress to help other victims that are when they're asking for help.
Absolutely. So again, backstory on this story, Lauren was a victim of domestic partner abuse. She broke up with the guy stalked her, she asked for help, she never got the help, and it ended in the most tragic way possible. He ended up murdering her and taking his own life in the process as well. Jill, I don't want to talk about him at all because he does not matter. What I do want to talk about is who was Lauren in all of her essence?
Lauren was just, she was sort of an ideal daughter. She was a student athlete and earned a scholarship to compete on the track team at the U. She was a scholar athlete with, her GPA was 3.77, and she was about to graduate. She cared about her friends and enjoyed hanging out with them. She loved animals, and she volunteered at the Humane Society to help socialize cats so they could be more adoptable. She loved to sing. She would ask friends to come to church with her so she could belt out the songs. And she sang karaoke too. That was another thing she loved doing. And just a wonderful young lady.
What was it she was hoping to do after she graduated from the U?
She was looking into a lot of different things. She had started to look for jobs. She majored in communication, and she was an outstanding writer. And in high school, she had won an award for the best writer in her school. But she was interested in something where she could interact with people. So she was also thinking about being an academic advisor, so she could help student athletes navigate being able to be successful academically while competing at a high level.
And what were some of her accomplishments with Utah Track and Field?
She got a honorable mention for all academic for the Pac-12, and she was one of the top. She'd made the top 10 list for the pentathlon, so the five event indoor competition.
Okay. Now, her situation is interesting because she did everything right. She checked the guy out. She did what I do. Whenever I meet someone new and they tell me what their name is and who they are and who they're about, I always go on the internet and check. What are your feelings as a mom? You know, your daughter did everything right. She did what she was supposed to do, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, I think she was very trusting to begin with, and I don't think she'd really run into someone who was basically a con man. Mm-hmm. And he lied to her about his name, his age, his criminal history. And then she did break up with him when she found out that information. I know she, well, she, and she didn't tell me everything. And as a mom, I wish she would have, but I suggested that she talk to her counselor about it. And so I knew that she was going talking to her counselor, and she had actually met with her counselor on the day she was murdered. And she was also, I knew she was also talking to police, but I just thought that he was stalking her on the phone, phone stalking her, but he was doing much more than that. And so I wish that she would have known that she could have told me anything, that if I had known, I would have come down there and helped her. When the police didn't help her, the housing didn't help her, and counseling didn't really help her either. So I wish I just wish I had known. I actually spoke with a counselor at one of our memorial walks that we had at the University of Idaho just a few days ago, and she said that she learned from this that that when she's talking with people, patients who are victims who don't feel comfortable telling their parents, she will really push them to talk to them and saying, well, if you were in danger, wouldn't they want to know? Wouldn't they want to help?
And I think one of the more haunting aspects of what happened is you were actually on the phone with Lauren and heard her last words. And it wasn't, I love you, mom, or anything comforting. It was something very scary. As a parent, what was that like?
Yeah, she and I would talk every single day. And so she was coming home from her night class, and we were just having a really nice conversation about her classes and the things she was working on. She'd just taken an exam in the class and thought it went well, and she did do well. And then I just heard her yell, "No, no, no!" And I thought, like, did a car run into her or something? Like, I didn't know what happened, and it was really horrible. I knew that her life was in danger at that time, but I was hopeful that she would be found and be okay.
And so, you're thousands of miles away in Washington State. What is the process of trying to get your child help when you're not close by?
I did call the police about her getting her car back because she had lent her car to this man, and I told the police that I wanted someone to be there when she picked it up because I was worried about her safety, and then she got it back and it was okay, but I didn't I wasn't aware of the ongoing problems. And so I mean, in retrospect, I wish, of course, I wish I was, but I wish I had been there. It's interesting when you have a child who's a young adult and you're trying to help them as much as you can, but you also want them to be able to handle some of their own difficulties, just like we all are growing up or had to do as we were growing up. But when it's but then there's obviously a point where they need more help, and I guess the one thing to learn is to just keep emphasizing, you can tell me anything. Keep that communication open. And I had told her that, but I think she, maybe she didn't was ashamed that she was had gotten in this situation.
And I think that's a really good point as well. I think people look at Lauren's situation because it was so nationally known, and part of it's because student athlete, So, you know, it just makes it higher profile, but this is not an uncommon thing. This happens if you poll anybody, man or woman, you're going to probably run into someone that's been in a very scary situation like this. You know, what have you learned from this situation about domestic abuse and violence?
Going into it, I had been fortunate enough myself that I had not experienced it, and I didn't understand the seriousness and how common it actually is before we lost Lauren. And so I've definitely become aware of that. I've had young women, a number of young women come up to me and say, I was in that situation. And actually hearing Lauren's story gave me the courage to get out, to get away from the abusive partner. And I've also heard from a lot of moms who have told me, basically asked for advice, how do I help my daughter get out of this situation? And so you understand how common it is. And then I'm much more, I do feel the murders so much more of other young women. You know, when I hear about, all, there's been more, the international student at the U recently, and just they all affect me personally because I know the pain that goes along with it.
You started the Lauren McCluskey Foundation in honor of your daughter. You know, talk about what that foundation's mission is and what it's done since it's been founded.
So we founded the foundation to honor Lauren, and the primary mission is campus safety. And that's really focused on the response to victims. There are really a lot of fantastic foundations that are for violence prevention or for helping victims recover, but there are very few that focus on the response. So how to improve the response. So some of the things that we're working on are strategic initiatives are, number one, increasing awareness of the seriousness of campus, of dating violence and stalking. And so with that, we've had over a 100 memorial awareness walks. So it's where, and it's been around the in October and around the date of Lauren's murder. And so we're actually having one today at the U at from 1 to 3, and that increases awareness. We also have done some races for campus safety. We've done one every year in at Washington State University. We're doing our first one in Salt Lake on Saturday, and so that helps. That also increases awareness, and it can be as a fundraiser too for us. The other th one of the our I would say our most successful initiative is expanding the adoption of Lauren's Promise. And Lauren's Promise is I will listen and believe you if someone's threatening you. And so I was thinking, what can I do as a professor to help other young women or any victim that can also be young men in that situation. And so it can be listed on a course syllabus that the professor gives out, and then it's inviting the person, I saying that I will listen and believe you if someone's threatening you, and they can and the professor can help connect the student to resources and be an advocate for that student. And so we've had professors at 237 universities have adopted it. And so it's really just, and it all over the world, you know, even Guam and Australia and in Europe. And then we have stickers, Lauren's Promise stickers, and that you could put on your, I have one on my door, but you could put it on your laptop or whatever. And we've mailed out over 10,000 stickers to just to individuals. And so that's been going really well. We're also working to create a best practices blueprint. So we're working with some consultants on that. So just to what are the best practices so that what happened to Lauren doesn't happen in the future? How can you break down the silos that are sometimes happen between housing, police, campus police, and city police, and also counseling? So what are the best practices? And then we are working on a campus safety score, and so that would be like, U.S. News and World Report ranks universities, and we've been talking to them about including a campus safety score in that. And so what we want to do is to create the incentive for universities to adopt best practices, and that can be one of the ways that both prospective students and parents can help, and it can help them when they choose a university. And so we're just trying to create the incentives for them to do that. And then finally, we want to share resources for dating violence and stalking, and also work with share resources even to policymakers.
I felt like one of the more stunning things from exactly when Lauren was murdered was the candlelight vigil that was held on campus. I went to it and watching all the student athletes that rolled in. And of course, the gymnasts and her track teammates and the women's basketball team, they were all visibly upset. And a big part of that is because I think they all kind of know and understand and have probably been in a situation that they can kind of semi relate to what happened. And it was shocking. And oh my gosh, it could have happened to me. What I found interesting though was how men's basketball and football conducted themselves. And it was kind of stunning how rattled they seemed, just very, very visibly bothered by that situation. And I know for a fact, football still takes time every year to honor Lauren's memory. What does it mean that the men's teams on campus particularly have taken this very seriously?
Yeah, it means so much, and I know that it is genuine from them. I've actually had emails from football alumni players who were, they've since graduated, that they knew Lauren, and that how much it affected them. And it's wonderful. And I was just recently invited to talk with my with the football team at WSU, and they understand, and they also want to make Lauren's Promise and really protect the help and protect the women who are on the WSU campus also. So I feel that these athletes are, especially those football and basketball players, but all the athletes, they're working so hard, and then there's such so many of them are such young men of character, and I appreciate all the support and just that you can tell that they understand and they mean it.
Since everything has happened, what kind of progress do you feel like has been made, and where do you think we still need to see improvement?
Yeah, so I think the I do think that the culture of that doesn't respond to women, doesn't take it seriously, doesn't respond with urgency has changed a lot. I know that at I sometimes talk with Keith Squires, who is the VP for campus for safety at the U, and he told me that since Lauren's murder, they have 94% of the hire. They have replaced basically 94% of the officers have been hired after Lauren's murder. So it is really a it's a different group. They take it very seriously. There's still a ways to go with Xifeng Dong, who was the recent young woman who was murdered. It wasn't really the, I think the campus police did what they were supposed to do, but they were not informed about it. So it was people in housing and residential education didn't do what they were trained to do. And so there's still some, that's an example of that there's still a ways to go in training. And also we need to think about how there can be better communication between the city police and campus police. But I think that there has been a lot of progress, and I'm hopeful. But I know there's still a ways to go. I'm talking with the state senator, Janie Iwamoto, and she's the one who authored some of the campus safety bills that happened right after we lost Lauren. And she's concerned about that all the reporting for the Clery Act, where you're reporting all the crimes, that has not been as extensive as it should. So that's maybe another area to work on. But I think we are making a lot of progress. I'm hopeful.
You've adopted this saying about Lauren and what happened, let her light shine. How do you want your daughter remembered, as the years go on?
Yeah, I want her to be remembered as someone who always cared about other people. So some of her former teammates told me that when they were new, so she was a senior when she was killed. When they were new to the team, and if they were kind of by themselves, she would always come over and talk to them. She always was worried about other people, and always helping other people. Her friends were all sorts of people from, it could be the popular person, but it could also be maybe the disabled person that was struggling. And she was just a good person to friends. She loved animals, and she was a hard worker, and just I was very proud of her athletic ability. And she still holds a lot of youth track and field records in where I'm from. I was just proud to have her as a daughter.
Well, Jill, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to talk about Lauren and some of the things you're doing to try and take a tragedy and hopefully help prevent future tragedies from happening. It takes a brave person to, I think, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and try and do good on the situation. So I thank you.
Well, it helps me in my grief to work to try to make progress in this. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, guys, that was Jill McCluskey, Lauren McCluskey's mother. Go check out their foundation, the Lauren McCluskey Foundation, and go make Lauren's promise. This has been another episode of The Crimson Corner. I am your host, Michelle Bodkin, your KSL Sports Utah Utes Insider, signing off. As always, go Utes.
Go Utes.